Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to hear the word of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Lord is good,
and
his mercy endureth forever. Thy word also, the Bible says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And the entrance of that word brings light. Now, Lord Jesus, that word we know is also quick. It's alive. And, you know, it can divide us under between spirit and soul. It can even pierce into the soul and marrow, bone and marrow. And it's a designer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, Lord Jesus, glorify yourself in the word of God today. And let our hearts be illuminated by that word, and that we may draw strength. The Bible says, let the word of God dwell richly in you with all, you know, just soak it in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we are in the book of Hebrews. And we covered the first three chapters already. And they did a review for me during that segment, so I don't have to do that. But this to go on to chapter 4, you really have to read chapters 3 and 4 together. You can't just take chapter 4 in isolation. So I'm glad they did a review of that. Today I'm going to go into chapter 4. And our topic today, you're taking notes because next week we're going to do a review. Our topic today is from Hebrews chapter 4, and it is entering into God's rest. From Hebrews chapter 4, entering into God's rest. Now, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 3, many that had received the promise of going to God's rest or entering in, they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so, that's what we read. I will pick it up from verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 3. That's the last verse. I'll pick it up from there and I'll go into Hebrews chapter 4. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, now take notice, and I'm going to come back and expound on these. But we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So he's saying something as if they were still to enter into his rest, even though he rested from his works, the foundation of the world. And he spake again in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Again in this place, if they shall enter into my rest. Now notice verse 6. Seeing therefore that there remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Now let's analyze that before I go too far with that, you know, because the next few verses are kind of parentheses, you know. We see that God made a promise that people should enter into his rest, and those to whom it was first given, that promise, they could not enter in because of unbelief. Well, it follows logic then, is what the writer here is saying, that, you know, we know then that there must some people that will still enter in, because those to whom it was given initially did not enter in because of unbelief. So, seeing therefore that it remained that some people must enter, and those to whom it was not, it was first preached, did not enter in because of unbelief, you know, I'm going to jump to verse 9. Therefore, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Now, so I skipped two verses just so I can connect verses 6 and 9. So let me read verses 6 and 9 together again, just so I can connect it. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Amen. So that's the way I wanted to read that. But I'll go back to the two verses that I skipped and read it. Again, he limited a certain day in David, saying, today, after such a long time, if you heard his voice, harden not your heart. We covered that already in chapter 3. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. So they didn't get the rest. So the rest is still future for some people to enter into, because those ones did not get it. Now look at verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his works, as God did also from his. Now, verse 11. This verse 11 is kind of strange. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. This is kind of like he's telling you to rest, but he's telling you to work hard in order to get into that rest. And I'll come back to that later. So let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I am going to stop there and try to cover that, because that's one topic. And then another topic later on, you know, so in the rest of the chapter. So let me stop right there and see how far we can get into this topic about entering into God's rest. Now, what is God's rest? I mean, what is it? We know that we are told, we read the scriptures in Genesis and so forth. God, you know, after, you know, all his work of creation and so forth, first day, second day, third day, fourth, fifth, sixth, on the seventh day, he rested from his works. And God hallowed the seventh day, because on it he rested from his works. So, what then is his rest? I mean, if he rested from his works already, you know, and he did that thousands of years ago, God entered into his rest then, because if you put it that way, because he ceased from his works, he finished, he got into his rest, he took a rest, and so forth. Why is he then still saying, if they shall enter into my rest, as if there's still something future coming? Well, he gave for the children of Israel that he took out of Egypt by a strong hand. For them, the rest was the promise of the land of Canaan, where he promised them the land flowing with milk and honey and good things and so forth like that. That was kind of what they were promised. But because of unbelief, we saw all that happened. You know, God, even though he promised, we read that last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in Jude, even though that God took out of Egypt, he afterwards destroyed them, many of them, because they did not believe. You know, so they never got in there, except for, out of all that generation, just Joshua, you know, and Caleb. And all the older people and so forth, they perished because the Lord just let them go around in circles until they all died. And they didn't enter into his promise. So we see that they did not enter into the promise. Well, what then is the promise? Is there some physical promised land that we are going to right now? I mean, are we on some journey? You know, the children of Israel, they were taken out of Egypt and they were on some journey. And instead of them to go something that might take them 40 days, it took them 40 years because the Lord, you know, ran them around in circles until he wore them out, and, you know, many of them perished and were destroyed by the destroyer. Well, we can look at it figuratively and say that we also have a promise from the Lord. Amen? Jesus said it in John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. So we see that there is also some kind of a place that we are going. I mean, we're kind of looking forward to a place. Now, I'm going to speak a little more about this rest in a minute. But if you look at it from this way, it may also look like, well, we are also on some journey. You know, the Lord, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, he's a new creature. So we see that when we gave our lives to Christ, We're on a new creature. We're on a new journey. But where are we headed? Well, Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming to get you to myself. So we see that we are also looking forward to going to that place. Now, is it also possible that just like the children of Israel, those whom God delivered from Egypt, afterwards he destroyed them because of their unbelief and their grumbling and their murmuring? And I said last week that, the level of your relationship with God is just as good as your obedience today. Not what you did last week or last year, but today. Today, if you will hear his voice. Now, how many of us realize that we are always in today? Do you know that? It's always today. It can never be tomorrow, and it cannot be yesterday. Some people say, well, they look at their watch just before midnight and say, well, it's not yet tomorrow. Well, it will not be tomorrow. Because when it is past midnight, it is still today. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me? It is always today. That's why he said, today, if you hear his voice, you may talk of tomorrow, figuratively. Yeah, we know tomorrow after midnight, it will, quote unquote, be tomorrow. But by the time we get there, it will be today. It's always today. So, today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So, there is a promise for today. And our obedience for today is what God is looking at. Not what we did yesterday. Not, I'll serve the Lord when I'm done with all of these other things. That's tomorrow. God's not talking about tomorrow. He's talking about today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, but let's look at it too. About the Sabbath day, because some people say that this is about Sabbath and all of these things and so forth. So I'm going to teach a little bit about that today so we can understand that very perfectly. God gave them an instruction. Even in Exodus chapter 20, he gave them those laws. And one of them was, remember the Sabbath day, to observe it, to keep it holy, and so on and so forth. And for many, many years and generations and so forth, They had to keep that law of the Sabbath as well as all other laws and many other statutes and so forth. So when you read this and you're talking of Sabbath rest, as they call it in Jewish Shabbat, you may be thinking of the Sabbath. So let's take a quick look about that. And I want to set some records straight about what the Sabbath is and isn't. First of all, there are folks that think that the Sabbath is a day of worship, that you set apart for worship. Others think that the Sabbath is a day that you set apart for rest. Well, I want to say to the folks that think that the Sabbath was set apart for worship that we have no such commandment in the scriptures. The Sabbath is a day of rest. It's not a day of worship. God never set aside any day of worship for us because every day is a day of worship. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But a Sabbath is a day of rest. Now, there is a whole denomination that is carved out of this issue of Sabbath, whether it should be on Saturday or on Sunday. So they carved out and said, well, Sabbath is Saturday, so we'll worship the Lord on Saturday. They are called the Seventh-day Adventists and so on. The Sabbath may be the Saturday, but I'm not a Jew. Amen? Amen? I'm not bound by any of those Jewish customs. As a matter of fact, I live here in America. We have a totally different calendar. Now there is something called the ISO standard. That those of us who are in technology and many things, we are governed by all around the world. The ISO standard even has a world standard for calendar, which is different. They start the day, the week on Monday, and it goes through Sunday. Well, America doesn't even follow that standard. Here in America, if you look at a calendar, it starts on Sunday most of the time, and it ends on Saturday. So depending on where you are, the part of the world that you are, various cultures have various days and so forth. But for the Jews, we know that the Sabbath was the seventh day. You know, and after the Sabbath was the beginning of the new week. You know, and all that. So we know that. But let's take a look even quickly for the Jews. Even for those, you know, because I just want to clear this up. Just in case you think that this is, you know, just about some physical day. But I want to say right off the bat, it's way beyond that. Now, if it was some physical day that he's talking about here of entering into his rest, and people say it's Sabbath, then what day is it? Some people say it's Saturday. Well, you know, maybe it is Saturday, and maybe not. But for your reference, here are some scriptures for even those who might think it's Saturday. In the book of Leviticus chapter 16, from verse 29 to 31. Leviticus chapter 16, 29 to 31. Here's what it says. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, in the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be of your own country, of a stranger, and so forth among you. For on that day, you know, the priest shall make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be cleansed for all your sins. And it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. So we see that there was this regular weekly Sabbath of Saturday, but then there was also, well, for the Jews, I'm talking, but there's also some of these other random Sabbaths that he picked out. Here's one of them, which is the 10th day of the seventh month. I mean, what day is that? You know, how do I know it's going to always fall on Saturday? But it's also called a Sabbath. Now, take a look at Leviticus chapter 23. I'm laying a background for this argument here. In Leviticus chapter 23, starting at verse 27, the same thing. Also on the 10th day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement and so forth. He talked about it. Verse 32 says, and it shall be a Sabbath of rest. Same thing that he talked about before. Ye shall afflict your souls, you know, in the ninth day of the month, at even from even unto even, ye shall celebrate your Sabbath. So it looks like, you know, there's different days here that I'm speaking. One time is the ninth day, another time is the tenth day, you know, and so forth. You know, we know that this is the tenth day that is actually describing here, because for the Jews, the day starts in the evening. So the day of the ninth evening starts the tenth morning, you know, if you can understand that. But anyway, you know, but look at verse 39 of Leviticus 23. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, whatever that day falls, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast unto the Lord 7 days, you know, on the first day shall be a Sabbath. So, you know, what day is he talking about here? So we see that they have many of these things, you know, Sabbath and all of this and so forth. You know, it's Saturday is this, it's 15 days this, and 10th day. They had the weekly Sabbaths, and then they had the regular Sabbaths, and then they had these separate additional Sabbaths, which is what he says here, verse 38. Verse 38 of Leviticus 23. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, those things which you normally keep and so forth, besides all your gifts, the regular ones that you do, also on the 15th day, there will be another Sabbath. So all the Sabbaths are all over the place. So which one do we really pick? Well, let's fast forward. That's for the Jews. Let's fast forward to the believers and see what he says for us. What he says to us and, you know, where we stand in that. You know, the first thing that we begin to notice was that these Pharisees and the Sadducees and the sect, they carried on these practices and so forth. Well, Jesus didn't bother them for carrying it on, but, you know, as long as he didn't keep them from the commandments of God. But every time they put some of their traditions ahead of the commandments of God, that was a problem, and Jesus challenged it. You know, so we see some cases where, you know, Jesus was doing some things with his disciples on the Sabbath day, which they shouldn't have been doing. So let's read, you know, some of these stories in the Bible. You know, this is just for us to see what, you know, where we are headed with this business of Sabbath or rest in the Bible for the believers. So turn with me to Mark chapter 2. I may not be able to read all the stories. I'll read one or two of them. There's about four of them that I want to make reference to, and I'll just talk about the others if I don't get a chance to read them. In Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 23, There is a story here of where Christ did something. And so let's pick it up in verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. Now, this is contrary to the Sabbath. You don't do that on the Sabbath day. You know, in fact, on the Sabbath day, you don't do any of those things. You gather your food the day before, gather 2 days' meal, so you don't have to do any of that, you know, on the Sabbath day. Well, so Jesus went through the corn on the Sabbath day and so forth. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they that on the Sabbath day that is not lawful? And listen to what Jesus... So they challenged Jesus based on the law of the Sabbath that they were accustomed to. And listen to what Jesus said. Have ye never read that which David did when he was needy and hungry? How, you know, with him and those that were with him. How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. So you see here, they are challenging, and they have the right to challenge Jesus because this is the law they knew. Well, but actually, that's the law they knew. So they are following that law, and they say, why are your disciples not following this law? So Jesus said, well, wait a minute, you know. Have you never read what David did? And now this is very deep. How David went to the house of God, and when he needed food, the priest had no food except the showbread, which was not lawful for anybody to eat but the priest. And David said, give me some of that bread. Praise the Lord. If you only knew what this saying means, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And David understood that. You know, so Jesus was making this reference. See, you know, God didn't condemn David. And he did that which was not lawful to do. And not only did he eat of that bread, he even gave to some of the people that were with him and so forth. And Jesus told them finally, he said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Praise ye the Lord. Well, in case that was not enough, the next chapter. And he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there, which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he will heal on the Sabbath day. Because see, on the Sabbath, you can't heal. You can't do any of these things, because it's Sabbath. You know, so, and Jesus, he looked around on them, and he saw this man. They were looking for a way to accuse him. So this man was there with a withered hand. And Jesus asked them a question, because he already knew their heart. He said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil? Which one is it? So they couldn't say anything. They held their peace. And he looked upon round about them with anger because of the hardness of their hearts. Now they forgot the fact that God placed the sanctity of life and wellness above keeping of days. Praise the Lord. Keeping of Sabbath day and so on and so forth is one thing, but God places the sanctity of life and wellness way above that. And in this case, this man was sick, bound of the devil, that needed deliverance. Sabbath or no Sabbath. Praise the Lord. So Jesus just dismissed. In fact, the people's heads were wound up because it was like, are you kidding me? This man cannot be of God. Because if you are of God, you will keep the laws of Moses. Praise the Lord. If they only knew who was standing right there. Hallelujah. You know, God already found fault with all those laws. That's why he changed it. Hallelujah. And in the end of time, he said, in the last days, I'm not going to forget all that. Now I will make a new covenant and I will write my laws in their hands. I mean, in their hearts and in their minds, because those other ones, they could never keep. Praise the Lord. And Jesus is the end of the law unto everyone that believes. Praise the Lord. Jesus never came to disannul the law, but there are some things that he changed, you know, because of the greater good. Because it was better for this man to be healed, even though it was Sabbath, than not to be healed at all. Now, listen to this story, even in John chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Moses gave them the law of circumcision. But that law actually came from, I mean, it wasn't such even a law that Moses originated. Abraham already did it. God already gave that circumcision to Abraham. So in John chapter 7, verse 22 and verse 23, Jesus tells them, he said, look, now these are some cases, I'm reading to you some exceptions where it seems as if Jesus just threw away that Sabbath thing. You know, Jesus said to them, look, Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it's of Moses, but it's of the fathers. Abraham had that circumcision before even David, I mean Moses. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man, because they had a law. On the eighth day that a male child was born, he had to be circumcised. So if that eighth day fell on the Sabbath day, they still had to do it. How many of you are following me? You know, they didn't care whether it was Sabbath day. If the child was 8 days old and that 8 days fell on the Sabbath day, they will circumcise that child, regardless of whether, you know, Sabbath day or not. They will take the child for circumcision so that the law must not be broken. Listen to what he said in John chapter 7, the next verse, verse 23. He said, look, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision so that the law of Moses should not be broken, why are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath day, but they are angry because Jesus broke the law, they said. But they break the law all the time when they have to circumcise somebody on the eighth day. They, you know, they didn't care about that. If he falls on Sabbath day, they do it on nonetheless. You know, there are many stories like this in the Bible. Here's another one you can write down for reference. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, this story is similar to the one we read in Mark chapter 2, but with a little, you know, rendition that is slightly different. So, but it says the same kind of thing. And here's another one in Luke 14. Same kind of thing, you know, but each one of these stories has a little slight insight that may be different than the other. Here's Luke chapter 14 from verses 1 to 6. Same kind of story, you know. But here, this is the one I want to bring out because I want to point something out. In this story, Jesus is asking them the same kind of thing. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day or not? You know, because they are challenging him because he healed somebody. So Jesus would challenge them. Jesus would challenge them about something else that they themselves do. He said, look, if you have an ox or an ass, this is Luke chapter 14 verse 5. Which of you shall have an ox and an ass fall into a pit and will not straightaway pull it up on the Sabbath day? You know, these people, if their donkey fell into a pit on the Sabbath day, they will not wait until the next day. They're going to pull that donkey out of the Sabbath day, Sabbath or not. And Jesus is telling them, your donkey falls into the Sabbath day, you're going to pull him out on the Sabbath day. You won't say it's Sabbath, but you will spare the life of that donkey. You pull him out anyway. Now, why are you angry at me because I make a man every week whole on the Sabbath day? Can you say praise the Lord? You know, so the Sabbath day was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It is a day of rest. There's no scripture that suggests that it's even a day of worship. It's a day of rest. Rest, you know, just like God rested. Look, and why is it important to rest? Well, for many reasons. Even this, Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. If you are writing down the scriptures, write this down also. Why it is important. Mark chapter 6 verse 31. And Jesus said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. Why? Because there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure even so much as to eat. So God has designed this human body, and he has put a mechanism in it that it needs rest. And if you don't give your body rest, you are going to break down. Hello, folks. And that's not, there's nothing you can do about that one. God already set it like that. Even God rested from his works. So if you are just constantly going and you don't get enough rest like you should, you will break down. And God forbid that you have a mental breakdown. That's even worse. Some people even have mental breakdown because they will not give themselves physical rest. And this thing aggravates over time. So we see that God ordained rest. Praise the Lord. And he gave an example of the rest because he did it himself. So Jesus telling the disciples, okay, well, there's too much going on here. Everybody, no, you don't even have time to eat. There's all these people and so forth. You know, maybe it's ministry work and they are just going all day long, preaching and going up and down and so forth. Go to this and go to that. Not time to, Jesus said, that's all right. Let's take time out. Take a little time out. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. So that is very important. So we see he's talking about, we're still talking about physical rest here. But what is the real rest? See, that God is talking about. We've talked about the various, you know, days that he may have alluded to, which some people took overboard and, you know, some people fight over it and so forth. We have no such custom. Amen. Amen, folks. We have no such custom. And I'm going to read some scriptures to you in a minute. But let me tell you, what is the day, what is really the rest that Jesus is talking about? Well, he gave an invitation and he explained it all. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus explained it all. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you this rest that he's talking about. Amen. I will give you rest. So I want you to turn to that scripture because it is very pivotal to our teaching today. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You may be heavy laden from whatever it is. Some people are heavy laden from grief. Some people are heavy laden from just being burdened with day-to-day whatever, you know, or, you know, challenges and so forth, or even sin weighing people down. Come unto me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And that's right. And he said, I'm lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. So we see that Jesus began to talk about rest. So the only place that you're going to find real rest to your souls is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You're not going to find, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. You're not going to have that peace. You're not going to have that rest. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. And somebody alluded to this already today. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Perfect peace, perfect rest, because your mind is stayed on the Lord. So coming into the Lord is where we get the rest. The real rest that he's talking about. But I tell you, there is a refreshing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is a time of refreshing. The Bible says, the times of refreshing that he shall send from the presence of the Lord. There's a time of refreshing. And that refreshing, sometimes it comes in the form of a Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the life of a man. Man, right? Because Jesus said himself, you know, it is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, cannot come. Amen. But when I go, I'll send him to you. And he will comfort you. He'll give you that peace, sir. That Holy Spirit, you know, there's nobody else. Listen to what he did in the book of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God made heaven and the earth. And the earth was without void. See? I mean, was void and without form. He was chaos all over the place. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deeps. Wow. I tell you something, folks. I've said it many times before on this platform. That Spirit of God, there is no one like him that can bring calm out of chaos. There was chaos all over the world. Everything was upside down and so forth. But the Spirit of God, he moved. And he brought calmness out of that chaos. He brought light out of the darkness. And he began to move. And for God to do anything significant in your life, first, the Spirit of God must move. Amen? When your life is void and your life is chaotic, the Spirit of God has to move, just like he moved over the deeps. God doesn't like void. God wants purpose. There has to be purpose in our lives. So when there is void and no purpose, then you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. But let's see what the Lord has to say to New Testament believers. Now, there is a rest that God promised for us as well. We've talked about various rest, physical rest and so forth, and resting from our efforts, personal efforts. See, when you're trying to do it on your own, you can't make it. Come unto me, Jesus said. You know, we've talked about that and so forth. But there's also a rest. You know, the final rest for believers is an everlasting rest when they pass on from this world to the next. We know that. But as long as you are still in this world, you're going to have all these daily struggles. But every day, even in the midst of those struggles, you can have rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. In the midst of the storms of life, you can be in the boat, like Jesus in the back, sleeping because you have rest. Or you can be panicking because you are not prayed up and you don't have the rest of God. The disciples were not prayed up. When Jesus told them to pray, they wouldn't pray. You know, so in the face of trouble, they were panicking. Jesus was prayed up and he had rest. Even though there was tempest and storm, he was just sleeping like a baby. He didn't care, you know, to rebuke the storm. He knew the storm would pass. He rebuked the storm only because of the unbelief of the disciples. He was going to just ride out the storm because he had rest. Amen. But listen to this in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, and let me read verse 13, just real quickly. Revelation 14, this is the eventual everlasting rest, you know, that God promises for those of us that overcome all things. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And their works do follow them. Praise the Lord. So we see there is an eternal, everlasting rest that is coming. See? And that from that point on, you know, from the time on that people began to believe in the Lord and that the Lord, when he took captivity captive, from that point and on, those that die in the Lord, they do rest from their works. Hallelujah. They rest from their labors. And the works that they have done on the earth do follow them. But what are the things that the apostles wrote concerning the Sabbath or this or keeping of this or keeping of that and so on? You know, because we have no such commandment to keep the Sabbath day or some other special day like, you know, some people think. Let's see what he says concerning that. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, and I'm going to read first at chapter 2 of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, I'll read from verse 16. And this is, you know, the letter that Paul wrote to the saints at Colossae. Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, whatever that day may be, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath, for all that matters, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Amen? Amen. So even the keeping of Sabbath and all of these things and so forth, they're just a shadow. You know, why settle for the shadow when you have the real thing? Praise ye the Lord. I want the real thing. I don't want just no shadow. No man can judge you anymore, whether your holy day, moon, new moon, Sabbath day. There are some people that still keep new moon. There are some people that still want to be doing the cycles through like the Jews are doing. The month of Nisan, the month of Abib, the month of this. I'm not a Jew. I couldn't care less about those things. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I have enough time straightening out, you know, January to December, let alone Abib and Nisan and all these things. Praise the Lord. You know, they can have all those if they want. But give me Jesus. Amen. Give me Jesus. Romans chapter 14. And verse 5. We're trying to show you here what the scripture has to say to believers about whether you keep this day or you don't keep that day, just so you know that what he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 4 is more than just keeping a day. This is Romans chapter 14. and verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Praise the Lord. If you want to say that one day is holier than another, that's your business. If another person thinks this, all the days are the same, that's their business too. But let everybody be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, if you say, well, this day is a holy day and so forth, praise the Lord. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. That's verse 6 of Romans 14. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord, he doth not regard it. So let no man judge you anymore. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Galatians chapter 4. Now, Paul wrote some strong things to the Galatians because he was afraid that they were being bewitched and that people were trying to bring them again to bondage, making them to be circumcised, making them do this and so forth, making them to keep these laws and so forth. These were Gentiles. They didn't have to do all of these Jewish things. But there are some people that are trying to bring them into bondage. So Paul was straightening them out. And this is Galatians chapter 4 and starting at verse 9. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Paul was afraid of these people, that their faith had gone away. They started observing days and moon and this and all that. Paul said, look, why do you want to bring yourself into bondage again when Christ has already made you free? Praise the Lord. One time Peter even was dissimulating about that. Peter, before certain brethren came, you know, from James and so forth in Jerusalem, you know, he was eating with the Gentiles. And then after, you know, those people came, he withdrew himself, you know, and all that. Because, you know, he didn't know what they were going to say. And Paul said to him, look, if you, being a Jew, don't even live like a Jew, you live like the Gentiles, how then are you trying to make the Gentiles live like the Jews? Praise the Lord. So Paul straightened him out and said, look, you yourself, you're a Jew. You're not doing the things that the Jews are doing or should be doing or they think they should be doing. You are living like a Gentile. Now you're trying to make the Gentiles live like the Jews. Said, you know, Paul said, we're not going to put up with that. You know, praise the Lord. So he straightened him out on that. You know, so we have no such custom to keep the seventh day or eighth day or whatever day. Every day is the Lord's day. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There could be a day of rest, and it's wisdom to have a day of rest because your body is going to break down, you know, if you don't keep that day of rest, you know. So, but it's not, there's no such thing as a designated day of worship. Now, I'll tell you where the Sunday came from, where people chose Sunday as a day of worship. Because Christ, you know, traditionally the Christians, they picked Sunday because they used it to recognize the day that the Lord rose from the dead. Because the Lord rose from the dead the day after the Sabbath. So for us, it will be Sunday because the Sabbath, when it was over, that Saturday and then Sunday. So they traditionally, they just, you know, gather together to worship and to, you know, celebrate, you know, the fact that he rose on that day. So that's where the Sunday came from. You could have church on Tuesday. Amen, folks. Amen. We can have church on Monday. Amen. We can have church on Wednesday. Amen. Some of you only come to church on Sunday because you have this notion that Sunday is the Lord's day. So I'm going to go to church on Sunday. So when we have church on Wednesday, you know, you may not come. When we have church on Friday, you may not come. When you have church on Monday, you may not come. Every day is the Lord's day. Yeah. Away with that nonsense about Sunday. You know, Sunday is just the day that we have traditionally accepted. And that's good for everybody. Most people are off on Sunday. So that's good. So we keep doing it. But it doesn't limit the Lord to Sunday. Amen. Amen. Let's not limit the Lord to Sunday. God can work miracles in our midst on Monday, on Tuesday. Amen? As a matter of fact, you ought to be having miracles in your life every single day. Amen. Then when you come on Sunday, then you can give a testimony of how great things God has done during the week. Don't wait until Sunday when somebody comes and prays for you. You know, that's a Sunday medicine. Praise the Lord. When I was a kid, we used to have this Sunday malaria medicine and so on. You know, that's the way it is for many believers. Sunday, you have this malaria dose or whatever dose. You go to church for 2 hours, you get the dose and all that. And that's good. You know, and then the rest of the week, well, I know that's not anybody here in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is not anybody in this church. Because we know, even the Bible says, though we don't speak, we are persuaded better things of you. But we are just speaking it generally. But some people have that Sunday dose, and then after that they go Monday through Saturday, they live like the devil. And then come back on Sunday and get another dose. Because the Sunday to them is the day of worship. Well, that's wrong. Amen? That's messed up, if I can use that language. You know, every day is a day of worship to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if you want to choose a day for you to rest, I mean, that's all wonderful. And we indeed should rest on, you know, certain days and so forth like that. You know, if you walk 7 days a week, 24 hours a day and so forth, I don't think you would last very long. Amen? I don't think there's anybody can do that will last very long. You know, you may be able to go a few days without sleep and so on, you know, but after a while, it catches up with you. Everybody that's in here knows that. You know, so we see that nature itself already teaches us that we need to get rest. Now, if you now extrapolate that in the spiritual realm, which is where this message is all about, what is God's real rest? How do you extrapolate that? Well, looking at it from the natural, if you go so many days without rest, you will break down. Now, what about if you go so many days in the spiritual, in your own strength, without the Lord's rest, you will also break down. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is the lesson of this teaching, so that next week you will remember. We must every day come back to the Lord for that rest. Come back, just like the apostles in Acts chapter 4, they came back in verses 29 to about 32. They said, Lord, see the threatenings of the people. And they came back and they were filled again with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just a one-time experience. They came back for more when they were threatened and they were afraid, and they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. So every day we must come back to the Lord for another filling, just like we have to eat. You know, you can't go very long. So, I mean, some people can fast long days, but I don't think there's anybody that can fast forever. Do you? You are going to starve to death if you don't eat. The same thing with spiritual thing. The spiritual meat comes from the presence of the Lord. And if you don't get that daily contact and get that daily rest and His presence, in His presence, and just get a refilling, and just lose all those things and let your mind rest in the Lord, you know, and get recharged in His presence. That's what we need. And if we're not doing that every day of our lives, we are going to miss out on a great blessing. And pretty soon, we are going to slip and fall. That's why He says, let him that thinketh he standeth do what? Folks, let him that thinketh he standeth do what? Take heed lest he fall. Well, when you should be, you know, in prayer, if you are not in prayer, you may fall. When just a little time later on. Jesus told the disciples to pray. They didn't pray. Even Peter, he bragged and he said, everybody else may deny you, not me. I'll even give my life. And the Lord said, will you really? He said, yes, sir. You know, the Lord said, well, before the cock crows 2 times today, you will deny me 3 times. And he began, you know, to say, no, I won't do it. But finally, he did do it because he didn't pray. He didn't stay in the presence of the Lord when he should have. And when a little maid challenged him, you look like him. You are also one of them. He began to swear and to curse and to do. Did you know that Peter was cursing and swearing and doing all these things in the Bible? You know, so far, you know, because he wouldn't pray. And Jesus said to him, Peter, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat is sifted, but I have prayed for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you are converted, now this was Peter now. Jesus telling me, you still need to be converted. You know, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when we come into his presence, when we pray, that's where the real power of the Lord is. Praise the Lord. Every day, we must come to His presence. We must come to be refilled. That's where the real rest is. All our struggles and everything and so forth like that, you know. And it is also, this is also another wisdom. It is good first to work before you rest. Amen? Amen? Some people like to rest and not work. They sit on the couch all day long. You know, rest. When are you going to get up and do something? You know? Bible says that God did work, and then rested. Praise the Lord. Not rest, and then walk a little bit. No. Walk, and then rest. That is the model that works. Praise the Lord. And now for you young people, it is the same thing. And here is a lesson for all young people that are here in this building today. Take this down. Everybody that is here in this building today. This is the book of Lamentation. In the book of Lamentation, especially for our young people, turn with me to Lamentation chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 37. Lamentation 3 and verse 37. And this is for all our young people here, so that you know that you need to do this, you know, and work. See, 27 I meant. Lamentation 3:27, not 37. Lamentation 3:27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Amen. That means there is a time for you to walk, and then rest later. If you rest when you're supposed to be walking, you know, that's not good. You know, Bible, even Jesus said in himself, he said, I must work while it is yet day, because the night is coming wherein no man can work. So Jesus knows that you must walk first, and then there's coming a time when you can't even do it. You know, so do it while, you know, there's a proverb that says, make hay while the sun is doing what? Shining. Young people, roll up your sleeves and work hard. That's what this verse is saying. It is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. Don't be lazy. A little folding of the arms, a little sleep, a little slumber, so shall your poverty come upon you like an armed man. That's what the Bible says, you know. So be strong and do the right thing. Walk first and then rest later. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, so, and that's the same thing. At the end of each day, you know, we can come back to the Lord after a hard day's work and so forth. Soak yourself back in the presence of the Lord and be refreshed in His presence. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. The rest that God promised for His people is in several stages. There is a daily rest. I'm summarizing now. It's a daily rest that you can get by just coming back every day to His presence. There is a rest that you can have from your labors by casting your burdens to the Lord, for He careth for you. There is a rest that you can have in the midst, in the eye of the storm. You can have a rest because your heart is stayed upon the Lord. The man that's heart is stayed upon the Lord, God will keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. And finally, there is a rest that God has promised. He said, they that die in the Lord from henceforth, they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming. Praise the Lord. But we can have rest every day here. God has given us a gift that Jesus promised, and He delivered. He said, if I do not go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But if I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And He went, and we saw that on the day of Pentecost, that began the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church. And until this day, everybody can experience the same. I don't believe that what they experienced in the upper room was just for those people. You know, I believe that we can experience the same today. You can experience, Jesus said it himself, you know, out of the belly of him that believeth in me shall flow rivers of living water. And this he said concerning the Holy Ghost, which believers should receive, for the believers hadn't received the Holy Ghost then. So if you are a believer and you haven't received the Holy Ghost, and don't let anybody tell you that you have the Holy Ghost, you know, just because you believe. It's a separate experience. Everybody believes, it's a separate experience. You know, you may have the Holy Spirit. You can't, without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be able to get salvation. We know that. But we're talking about an infilling experience of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a separate experience. It's like being baptized in water. You say, well, I don't know if I was ever baptized in water. Well, if you were baptized in water, you will know. It's not something you don't know. You either know or you don't know. You were either baptized or you were not baptized. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you also know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's not a one-time experience. You can come back for more, just like the apostles did. And every day, you can come back for a refilling. Let's lift our hands and ask the Lord to lead us into this rest. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 23. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I want you to say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Now that's rest, folks. When you've gone through the day and your soul is famished, when you feel like you are withered and so forth, you come into his presence praising the Lord, and he will restore your soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Say it with me, folks. I walk through means I'm coming out on the other side, folks. I'm not walking into the valley of the shadow of death. I'm walking through. So I'm coming out on the other side. Amen. Amen. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Now that is his rest. Lift up your hands and let's pray. Now, Lord Jesus, we see you as a shepherd and bishop of our souls. And like David said here, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord indeed is our shepherd. And you can lead us, Lord, every day to those green pastures. You can lead us beside the still waters. And you can lead us in the paths of righteousness for your great name's sake. And even though tempests and so forth, storms of life may rage, yet we have rest because our minds are stayed upon you. Teach us, O Lord, give us a deeper understanding concerning this word, how that we may find true rest in the Lord every day. Now, the scripture also says, come unto me, all ye that labor. If you are under the burden of sin, come to the Lord, and he will lift that burden, and he will make you a new person. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those of us that you have turned our lives new. You have turned us inside out. You have made us new. We are new creatures. We are made after the image of Christ now. Give us, O Lord, the grace to walk in the same rule every single day, walking in the light, even as you are in the light. And we know, Lord, that the rest that you have promised is ours, because we will not be unbelieving and we will not disobey your word like others did. We will believe God. Lord, I believe. Say it, folks. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.